Hi, Pam. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Judy. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have a very interesting background. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to write this new book?
Sure, yeah. I was a lawyer for 25 years with a large international law firm. It's Baker Botts in Houston, Texas, and we had offices around the world. It's a firm that was founded 150 years ago. And I guess about 15 years ago, I was an agnostic, had a religious upbringing, but I was an agnostic, became an agnostic in the 1960s, was a flower child, and started reading Ayn Rand and some philosophers. And when I would ask people, going back to faith, how do you know that these things are true? The answer that I would get is you just have to live with it. You just have to have faith. There's no way to prove it. I became an agnostic, and about 15 years ago, I lost my father, and some other things happened, and I really wanted to know, is this life all there is? We need hope and we need a feeling of purpose in life, and also values, something to guide us with values. So I thought, well, I'm a lawyer. I can do the research. I can see if those stories that are written down in the Gospels, the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I can see if those are true or not. The same way I could find out if a car wreck happened 5 years ago. You just go back to the witness's testimony and you check their credibility and you check their stories, corroborate the stories. And I decided to use all extra-biblical evidence. You don't want to try to prove the Bible with the Bible. So I spent 15 years researching it. What I found was simply astounding. I found that there is probably more proof, objective, independent evidence that the stories of the four Gospels in the New Testament about Jesus are true than there is for most trials in the United States, even murder convictions that are based on circumstantial evidence. That changed my life. I became committed to Christianity, and I found, Judy, that my focus and my energy had changed. I remember one day looking at all these books on the shelf in my office. I traveled a lot and did fairly big deals. We had very big corporate clients. I looked at all these bound volumes that they have representing each of these transactions that I'd worked on over the years, and I thought, these are so temporary. They are going to be redone. Interest rates go up, interest rates go down, lawyers come and go for clients and vice versa. What am I doing here? My focus now was really on something else, and it was on Christianity, but it was also on getting a message out about, or not so much getting a message out, more just making a statement about a worldview that I don't think at that time was being made very often, and that statement is, there are things that are true, things that are false. Just like one and one will always be two, and squares will always be squares, and triangles will always be triangles, there is such a thing as absolute truth, absolute right and wrong. You can get through a lot of life in gray areas where you can say, well, I know that's not quite on the up and up, but that's okay. It's not going to hurt anybody. But at some point in your life, you come to a point where there is something right, absolutely right, and you know that, and something that's absolutely wrong, and you know that, and you have to make a choice between the two of them. And with Christianity, sometimes it's a very, very difficult choice that you have to make. Sometimes if you have to make the right choice, you have to give up a lot. You're going to lose a lot. So this book is a novel. I decided I wanted to write to get this message across, and I wanted to use fiction because, as we've seen from the Da Vinci Code, fiction is a very powerful way to get an underlying message out to people, along with a very good story.
How did you come up with the title, Walk Back the Cat?
Walk Back the Cat? Walk Back the Cat is some, I couldn't remember where I got it from, but it has to do with going back to the beginning. There's a quote on the back of the book. It's just, walk back the cat. If you want to get to the root of a thing and really find what's happening, trace events all the way back to the first one, the thing that started it all. Ever watch a cat find its way back home?
Mm-hmm.
And I walk back the cat, says to the reader that this book has some puzzles in it, and this book has some mystery. And if you're going to find out the reason for the things that happen in the book, and if you're including making choices, making hard choices, and why you make one choice over the other, you need to go back to the very first thing that influenced the person's character. And so Walk Back the Cat refers to that. But interestingly, about a month ago, I Googled Walk Back the Cat because I couldn't remember where I got it from. And I found that under something like weird phrases or strange phrases and words, up comes a phrase called Walking Back the Cat. And I found out that the CIA and some other spy agencies use that terminology for the same thing. When they're trying to get weed their way through a whole lot of evidence, they essentially walk back the cat. They trace steps back to the first thing event that happened. But that was kind of interesting because I really did not remember that it was a spy phrase of some kind.
Now tell me, when you quit your job 15 years ago, what did your family think and your friends?
Well, I quit about 2 years ago because I wrote Faith on Trial while I was still a lawyer. But when I did leave 2 years ago, it was with a lot of happiness. I mean, I loved every minute of being a lawyer, and it was it was very challenging. I met lots of fascinating people, and I wouldn't trade that time for anything. I now have an entirely new career, which is writing, and writing with a particular worldview, and people are very happy for me. It was a wonderful change, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, that's really good that you have the support of your family and friends when you make a career change like that.
Yes, I do. And in fact, I was just in Houston last week on a book tour, and my firm gave me a little book party in support of the book and has been very, very supportive of it. So I think they're thrilled, you know, that after a career of 25 years of law, and I was a partner in the firm when I retired, after that, that you can do something that's just your passion, if you know what I mean.
What key quality do you believe that all successful people share?
I think there are two things. I think one is drive, hard work. There are a lot of people that are very, very smart, but I think people that have drive will be the ones that will succeed. And the other thing is priorities. You have to be able to prioritize what you're doing. You know, the world is moving so fast now, and we have people have short attention spans, and we get things in just blasts of news and blasts of information from every direction. And you have to be able to keep your focus on your priority. And you also have to take that priority as a sort of a guiding light and not look back. Because if you reevaluate it every time life gets tough, you won't go forward. You won't get anywhere. So I'd say drive and priorities, quite a bit of both of those things. He has focus and he has drive and he's ambitious and he's powerful. And just at the pinnacle of his success, he's faced with his choice. What do I do? Truth or lie?
Well, thank you, Pam. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Can you tell our listeners how they can find your book?
I sure will. It's on Amazon. It's also in most bookstores. And if they don't have a copy, when you go in there, they'll order it. And if you go to my website, walkbackthecat.com, you can get to purchases there, but you can also get some downloadable information and see more about the book.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
You're listening to Judith Piazza and the American Perspective, brought to you by the SOP.org.
Thank you.
Listening to Judith Piazza and the American Perspective, brought to you by the SOP.org.